Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends. Welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
And we are back for episode 2 of the new season of the podcast. Another hint at what the secret theme is. This week, we are talking about the grindhouse classic, Pieces.
From 1983?
I think 1982.
What was copyrighted in 1983? Because that's what the credits said.
Okay. Well, according to Wikipedia, 1982.
Damn. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Maybe one of the best trailers ever cut. Truly, definitely, maybe the second best tagline ever. Obviously, the first one goes to Jaws 2.
What's the tagline?
You don't have to go to Texas for a chainsaw massacre.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that fucking incredible?
That's really good. And okay, now what's Jaws 2's tagline?
Jaws 2's tagline is just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Oh, yeah. What's Jaws, the first Jaws' tagline?
I think it might be dun-dun. It's probably you read the book, come see the movie.
Those are both really good taglines.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you have a third favorite? Or
third favorite.
How many you got on the brain, John?
I mean, the thing is, all of the grindhouse movies, all of the low-budget movies, they had the best taglines because they needed to sell you on something to get into the theater. Mm. A movie like Pieces is promising you everything you want in a shit movie from 1982.
Isn't the Suspiria tagline, like,
oh,
the only thing...
Goddamn, maybe this is the best one.
The only thing scarier than the first 90 minutes is the last 15 or
yeah,
something?
Which doesn't make any sense because it means come for the beginning, leave for the end.
I mean, I'm sold.
Oh, no, it's the other way around. The only thing scarier than the last 10 minutes is the first 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going out on a big landing.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, Pieces. Holy shit, this movie, guys. I have to say, my experience with this movie is very recent, and I can happily say that the first time I ever watched it was with the Fiend Club when we did a watch party.
Yeah.
It was the best way to experience this movie, like with a bunch of different horror fans, all just like what the fucking at the same time.
Yeah, some of them had definitely seen it before, but it was a first time watch for a lot of people, including us. And to just have a whole bunch of horror fans riffing and laughing through the whole thing, what an experience.
Yeah, no, it was such a fun experience. So, like, I would recommend you watch this with your friends.
Definitely.
If that's an opportunity, hopefully you have spooky friends or even friends that don't like horror movies. They'll probably be fine with it.
Truly thought you were going to say, hopefully you have friends.
Hopefully you have some friends. They're hard to come by these days.
I mean, it's true. Yeah, this Pieces, my experience is much longer because I had started this movie many times.
Which is crazy because the first like 5-6 minutes of the movie, they do not set you up for the rest of the movie at all.
I think in the first five minutes we have a kid killing his mother because she's discovered his porno puzzle. We have
porno
a girl
puzzle.
Dying while riding a skateboard
Does she die? This is my big question in the movie. What happens to Mirror Girl?
And then also immediately after that, a second girl who we think is the Mirror Girl who dies while skateboarding.
Same haircut.
Get her head chopped off on the lawn of a campus. I think they're really setting you up for exactly what this movie is, but for whatever reason, this was something that I would constantly put on at like 2 a.m. or 3 in the morning. Like, it's, we should definitely be going to bed, but I'm like, I'm staying up for one more movie, and I would never make it past the
this
first
2 minutes.
This feels
like a movie that you would only start at 2 a.m. and never get through.
It's, yeah, right? And frankly, if you can stay up that late, if you're not an old man like me, that is the time to watch it.
And, like, as a kid, I could tell, like, if this went on was on TV, you'd be like, ooh, this is naughty.
Ooh, he's got a little sexy puzzle. Man, pornography used to be so simple.
Those were the days.
Like, to get a puzzle and then to solve it. And, like, here's the thing. This kid really wanted
this
to solve
that
puzzle.
This is harkening back to those, like, lighters that you had to, like, tilt a certain angle.
Oh, to see a naked lady? Yeah. Or a deck of cards or something? His mother comes in, sees him trying to put together this puzzle that's got a naked lady on it, and he has saved just the 2 bits that obviously he wants to see. And she came, like, you couldn't give me 10 more seconds, Mom? Fuck! Man, this is like when this is like an alternate version of the Beastie Boys, right? Like, you gotta fight for your right to porno.
To puzzles.
Yeah, and like any normal child, his reaction to this is to fucking murder his mother.
With an axe.
With an axe.
That is something about this movie, is that all of the deaths feel very sudden.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Particularly the opening kill, because she's like, go get a bag. I need to find all your pornos. I know you have a ton of them. And she's rooting through his shit. And then he just shows up with an axe and just bludgeons her in the head.
Uh-huh. And then continues to do the puzzle. How confused would you... Okay, I mean, the police that show up are basically just like, strange. Like, they don't actually do any police work whatsoever. But, like, let's say this happened in the real world.
No, because they find the kid cowering in the closet. The mom is just a head in another closet.
Looks great.
And he's covered in blood. There's no one else at the scene of this crime. And he's like,
mommy,
I saw a
mommy.
Thing. And they're like, come here, boy.
We'll ask
we
zero
must
questions.
Shelter you for 40 years.
But okay, so like, we cut 40 years later, and a masked figure who we don't see, he's wearing gloves, like it's a giallo, and he's basically back at the
house.
And
it's dubbed like it's a giallo.
It sure is. He's opening drawers, pulling out shoe boxes that are filled with memorabilia, including his mom's bloody shoes.
Yeah,
her
and her
dress.
And a photo of her ex-out, just in case you were confused.
Who kept that for him? Who was like, you're gonna want this later. Here's a little keepsake of the worst day of your life.
Yeah, because they definitely found that body with clothes on, and they were like, here are her effects. And he's like, thank you. Can you put it in this box, please?
They probably gave it to him at the funeral.
Like yeah, this box with the photo of your mother exed out.
And a naked woman, like a puzzle in it as well. Yeah, like this is all for you. Like imagine going to the funeral and instead of folding up a flag, like a military funeral, they give him like her bloody clothing. Here, we noticed you're a little freak. You might want this.
Here you go, you little freak. But yeah, and like all serial killers, he waits 40 years before he does it again.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. You got to wait for a nice anniversary. It's like keeping a bottle of wine in the cellar.
You know, oftentimes how they catch serial killers or caught serial killers back in the like serial killer heyday.
You try to say we don't catch them anymore?
The 70s and 80s. No, we'll catch people before they become serial killers.
Oh.
So there's less of them. And it's also harder to be a serial killer, so it maybe deters people. Okay. Either way, one of the main reasons we would catch serial killers is by the pauses and the breaks in their attacks.
Okay.
And serial rapists and stuff. And it was always often because they were incarcerated for another thing. And they were able to line up like, okay, well, who's in prison in this area that has a rap sheet that's similar to whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And was in prison for these 3 years when all the killings mysteriously stopped and then started up again. And they catch people that way, which makes this movie even sillier because he's not incarcerated at all. He's not, this crime is not pinned on him.
Nope.
He just, you know, grows up, gets a solid education, becomes a dean of a really interestingly eclectic school with kung fu classes, sexy dance classes, cool ass pool, and tennis lessons.
Best goddamn pool in the fucking country. Yeah, spoiler alert. Kim just gave away the end of the fucking movie if you haven't seen Pieces. Also, if you're listening to this podcast, either you've watched it or you don't care. And
it's either him or the gardener, and the gardener is looking sus the whole time.
Gardener, man!
So you know it's not him.
Truly one of my favorite characters in cinematic history.
This is just John's favorite actor.
I fucking love this guy.
Which is crazy.
His name is Paul Smith. He is a thespian. you may recognize his work from the likes of Gene Wilder's Haunted Honeymoon, which we've covered on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, he is in that.
He's the crazy psychiatrist who sets up this elaborate ruse to cure Gene Wilder of his irrational fear.
Okay, but his acting in this movie is so, so insane.
He is giving us a Nicolas Cage performance, and you should thank him for it.
Oh man, the first kill in the school is one girl. She goes for, like, you know, one of those night swims that you go on, and he shows up, and he, after the massacre occurs, and the killer has used his chainsaw,
yeah,
and he is so, like, insulted.
Who touched my girl?
And the killer continues to use his chainsaw, so he's just, like, not doing a great job.
But you totally buy it, because the first time you see him, he's cutting branches and just waxing the chainsaw like it's his one true love. Like, he's like, oh, baby, oh,
they
yeah
could have put, like, a heart filter on it,
yeah,
and it would have made sense.
Man, those are the new Valentines for next year. That's what we need. That's what I want. At 2026, have Valentine's Day, whatever this long groundskeeper's name is. Willard. His name's Willard.
Oh, man. You know more about this groundskeeper than
I don't,
90% of people listening.
I know more about this groundskeeper than I know about anything else in the rest of the movie. He's amazing in this movie. His entire performance hinges on him just giving weird eyebrows. Like,
he squints the entire film.
And he's got one outfit. It's a leisure suit. It's powder blue on the top and the bottom. And it's absurd.
Oh, boy.
So one of the other things that I do actually
know
about
this movie. The one suspect of the movie.
There's nobody else that it could possibly be. But the thing is, when they show the killer every time, they're like, he's wearing dress shoes. But we always see Willard in, like, denim.
Yeah, well, and, like, the killer's, like, a tall, skinny guy in a trench coat.
Yeah, and this guy looks like he ate the killer. Like, I love you, Paul Smith, but you're not the skinniest man in this movie.
It's an interesting one because, okay, so we jump forward 40 years. So we know we're looking for, like, a 50-year-old man.
Minimum.
Of which there are only three in the movie that are not police detectives.
Yeah, because it's not like the kid, Casanova Kendall, who's the Lothario of campus, who's sleeping with everybody, apparently, say. It's not like he has happened upon this kid's jigsaw puzzle, bloody dress and shoes, and he's like, I'm going to make my entire personality this weird box I just found. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, he kind of gets, like, pushed onto the case by the cops themselves. They're like, we need eyes and ears, and we've chosen you to be the lead character of this film.
Yeah, it's like the writers were just like, we watched a couple Dario Argentos, and we think we know how this goes.
Pretty sure we know what we're doing.
But the thing is, the movie thinks that it has 17 suspects.
Oh, one of my favorite moments. It's after the killer goes for the arms girl.
Oh, in the elevator?
Yeah. So, well, no, okay, but this is not about that. This is about the moment afterwards when it's like the middle of the night and it's storming and everybody is at the school after hours standing there all in, like, a lineup for the detective to look at.
Thunderclap in the background.
It's like it's fucking Clue, and
yeah,
they're all in the fucking drawing room, like, okay, now who murdered Mr. Body?
But there is zero, like, there's no chance that it's anybody other than, well, I mean, there's a couple people. You're not entirely sure.
Oh, it could be the thespian professor.
Oh, Mr.
Of
Brown.
Anatomy.
Yes, of course.
Who's
because
got
he
the
likes
interesting
body
haircut
parts.
And, you know, sweater vest.
He looks like Shakespeare. Like, he looks like if you put that frilly collar around him,
absolutely,
100% he's writing sonnets.
Instant. And yeah, he's only sus because he knows about body parts.
Okay, so I'm making fun a little bit of the writer of the movie by, you know, just saying that none of this mess.
I'm not making fun of anything about this movie.
Okay, I'm celebrating the intensity.
This is my new favorite horror film, John.
I'm glad to hear that because this movie fucking rocks.
It fucking bumped something off. I don't know what yet, but it's up there.
And frankly,
this might be top 10.
Perf, really?
It's so good.
That's very surprising to hear. But yeah, this movie fucking rocks. I hope it didn't bump off the Texas Chainsaw Massacre from the top 10, because that would really hurt. But it would make sense for you. Writer of this movie, Dick Randall. Also the producer of this movie. And this is why it makes it such a perfect follow-up to our first movie last week, Slaughter High, because it is the same producers that made Slaughter High.
I approve.
In fact, there's a sequence in Slaughter High where was it Carol?
I've already forgotten all those names.
Okay. The character who is the actress.
Okay, so the main girl.
She's
yeah.
talking to a producer in the movie, and behind him is a poster for Pieces.
I remember that.
Yeah.
In this movie, there's a poster for Friday the 13th.
Which they had nothing to do with. I don't think.
The only notes I wrote when we were watching this movie was, this movie is like Aliens... solely learned what humans were through the Friday the 13th series and three giallo films, and then decided to make their own movie.
I love it. I mean, I think that's great. None of the dialogue makes any fucking sense. It's truly unhinged and so fucking funny.
And like leaps and bounds, this movie.
Just tiny little details that are so hard to try and convey in a podcast. Professor Brown, for example, gets called into a room to talk to the dean's assistant. Like, oh, are we all still talking about that business? Like, a girl was decapitated on campus and he could give zero fucks about
Everyone is so blasé about these murders.
Yeah.
One, girls are dying. So this takes place over, say, like, 48 hours maybe total,
uh-huh.
and girls are dying left, right, and center,
yes.
all on campus.
Uh-huh.
They don't close down the school.
No.
They don't send letters to parents. Press starts coming around, and they're like, oh, no, nothing's happening, nothing at all. And, like, girls are dead.
No one gives a shit.
No one gives a fuck.
No, not at all. The cops...
Not even Kendall. And wasn't the first girl that was murdered his fucking girlfriend?
Well, so the first girl murdered is the girl that we don't know anything about.
It oh, right.
Sort of a cold
okay, so
open...
I'm not counting window mirror girl.
And neither am I.
Because I need... I do not think she died there. I need an explanation.
Okay, I'll fucking find it for you. Jesus Christ. It actually doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they kept it. I think it might even be a deleted scene. I remember this coming up while we were watching it with the Fiend Club, and like every once in a while I'll sort of like pepper it with like some trivia that I found on Wikipedia or IMDb. And
yeah, so there's we're not counting Mirror Girl, then there's Lawn Girl, and then there's the Swimmer Girl. So the Swimmer Girl is the one that's she was writing Kendall a letter, right? Like, ooh, come skinny dipping with me at this
yeah
really wonderful pool this school has.
It's gorgeous.
And no one what is this school doing with a pool this nice?
Dude, that goddamn pool looks like it belongs in a billionaire's mansion.
Yes.
Like, my dream vacation is whatever resort has that fucking
pool. My dream vacation. This college.
Yeah, where kids are getting murdered. And I'm just on the sidelines hanging out with the kung fu professor trying to figure out what's
oh,
going on.
Oh, boy, the kung fu professor.
Okay, before we go on, though, about the skateboarding girl. So I've found it on IMDb here. So the skateboarding girl who crashes into a mirror... and Virginia Palmer, the co-head, she's got a whole ass name.
What?
Who's decapitated by the chainsaw lying on the grass.
Wait, so it's the same girl?
No. oh, shit, fuck me. It says are, in fact, the same person. In an interview with actress Roxanne Nieto, she explains that her character skates through the mirror but survives with apparently no visible injuries.
That was the thing. I kept waiting for, like, a girl with, like, bandages on her face to show up.
Oh, this scene is witnessed by the dean, who gets the idea to create a perfect woman using pieces from other women.
Oh, so that's what sets him off.
He then stalks and kills the skateboarder, Palmer, making her the first victim at the college.
Wow, these are some narrative leaps.
This is the best sentence of the entire trivia factoid. This scenario was not explained in the movie. Incredible.
Yeah, so that mirror sequence, it's just a girl on a skateboard who, like, runs into a mirror that's crossing the road.
Yeah, well, it seems like a classic gag that you would see in any comedy.
In any Acme movie.
Yeah, where somebody's barreling down the road, their brakes have been cut, and for whatever reason, some guys are moving like a piece of glass across the street, and they crash into it.
And it's spliced in... him
yes
either looking at the puzzle or looking at his dead mom's clothes, and then we just cut to the first murder. We're on the garden. There's no girl with bandages.
Nope, there's nothing.
There's no explanation.
Uh-huh.
And there's no justification apart from that IMDb trivia.
Which is from an interview from years later.
For why he hasn't killed in 40 years.
No, nothing at all. But it bumped something off Kim's top 10 horror movies of all time. No,
it
there are
sure
very,
has.
There are very few explanations for anything, and I fucking love it. It's pure carnage. It's absolute insanity. And it's just a good fucking time.
It is so fun.
It is a shame that we did not watch this movie sooner, but I feel like it found us at the right time.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy like we watched it when and how we did. Mm-hmm. I am sad that I didn't grow up with it, but I'm making up for it now with the level of appreciation I have for it.
Yeah, and watching it for the first time with a group of people, absolute way to go.
Oh, man. Just a bonkers movie. So the kung fu teacher, maybe like the thing that pushes it over the edge for me. So another undercover cop is Mary, who's a cop, but also a tennis pro. And she's going undercover as a tennis teacher to be more eyes and ears for the detective on top of Kendall.
Which they don't explain this, but I think it's just that she fits the description of the other women that are dying. Like she's just blonde and pretty.
Is it? I think.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I think in their mind, they're just like, she's a good looking woman.
He keeps
he'll
saying,
go
like,
after her.
We're understaffed.
Well, I think they want to use her as bait.
Oh. Well, why are none of them around then? Why isn't she ever wearing a wire? Like, what?
No idea. Not at all. No idea at all.
But anyway, she's walking alone at night, you know, scoping around, trying to see if she can, you know, crack the case or whatever.
Bad idea.
And then some guy just shows up, like, full out kung fu style, starts, like, trying to attack her, and then she beats him up, and Kendall shows up on his chainsaw motorbike. And he's like, oh, my kung fu teacher. And then all of a sudden, like, that previous fight sequence we had was just a misunderstanding.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's a little stupid. And not to make
it's
this...
It's fantastic. What are you talking about?
I mean, stupid in the best way possible. But, you know, not to make this entire episode just a bunch of trivia facts that you know, we've already sort of, like, relayed in that watch party. This is just the first one at the very top of IMDb trivia. Because producer Dick Randall was simultaneously making a kung fu film in Rome, a cameo for a Bruce Lee imitator named Bruce Lay. He's actually in a bunch of like Bruceploitation movies. Let's not get into it.
And pornos.
Probably. He was written into the film, even though this scene makes no sense in the context of the rest of the film. I love that the IMDb trivia is pulling no punches, saying like, we don't know why they did this. They don't know why they did this. But thank God we live in the world where this movie exists.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
So here's the other thing, though. A movie this bonkers, a movie this bananas, you would not be shocked if the kills sucked. You know?
Yeah, like honestly, they could suck.
Yeah. And you'd still
have
a great
every
time.
Right. They have all my permission to suck.
But
they are really visceral.
And really good. Like, even now, we've seen the movie before. We're jaded horror fans. There were a couple kills in this that made me go, oh, fuck.
The elevator kill with
when
the arm?
When they cut that girl's arm?
It was like a real arm.
I thought for a half a second, I was like, this is dangerous. What are they doing? And frankly, probably dangerous. There's no goddamn way.
Oh, yeah, she's just got her arm tucked behind her jacket.
Yeah, and they're definitely using real chainsaws. God, movies used to be so dangerous and good.
Fuck, yeah. All of the kills. And I was thinking about it while we were watching. I was like, what is it that's making these kills really fucking land? Because even when the news reporter is scoping around after the kung fu moment, she gets murdered on the much talked about waterbed.
Yes.
And just the fact of her, like, writhing around, bleeding from being stabbed, and the waterbed bursts, like, you're just like, what is, I'm uncomfortable.
Oh, well, she also gets stabbed through the back of the neck, and the knife comes out her mouth.
Maybe the struggles are good, because the acting in this movie, not great, but.
You take that back.
The acting in this movie, particularly the groundskeeper.
I was going to say, what do you know?
Adds to the film, though. Not great. But the kills are just so fucking creepy.
That girl that gets killed in the shower, you see the chainsaw cut into her torso. Like, they probably use, like, pigskin or something. It looks gnarly.
Yeah, they cut her in half.
Yeah. Well, they also do really good work of showing dead bodies where clearly it is
we've
the
made
actor.
Like a riser.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've hidden them, like, the part that was cut off.
Yeah.
Underneath the floor or a shelf.
Yeah, total Friday the 13th style. Maybe that's why that poster's there. They're just like, we stole all of the practical effects work from this.
So on top of it being just very visceral and the fact that they're going there and they're showing it, I honestly think the reason why it's so successful is that they have absolutely nailed the color and viscosity of blood in a way that movies were not doing in the 80s.
Oh, maybe.
I just think the blood looks so good in
this. That's gotta be it, yeah.
Even on the walls, like, they do a lot of blood splatter.
Uh-huh.
Even just hero shots of the wall and then blood splatters on it every time he kills someone, and it looks fantastic.
And the funny thing is, it isn't as easy to film chainsaw stuff as you would think. You think, oh, chainsaws in movies? No problem. The work's done for you. It's gonna be so easy.
Maybe that's why there's that, like, shot of the chainsaw in the sauna, because it's impossible to film in a sauna. like, chainsaws are equally as hard.
Okay, so this, what you're talking about is the scene where the reporter, before she gets killed in the waterbed, is skulking around. She's, you know, trying to see if there's something amiss.
In the spa area of the college.
In the spa area of the college. And she opens a door to the sauna. There's just a chainsaw sitting in there. And she goes, okay. Like it's just a totally normal thing you would see waiting for you in the sauna. Like, oh yeah, nothing to see here. Of course there's a chainsaw.
Also,
here.
Saunas are like 2x2 rooms. The killer is in there.
He was in there.
He's in there. Maybe it's because he's dressed as the Shadow.
You know, it's funny to say, and it's funny to see, but because he's wearing, like, a fedora and a trench coat. Like, I was joking that it looks like he's some sort of spy that's going to meet a journalist in a parking garage somewhere. But it looks awesome. Like, even when he's, like, sneaking into the pool, or he's sneaking into the dance studio, and, like, it's a pitch black room, but
it's
it opens to reveal, like, a blue silhouette.
It's a very interesting outfit, though, to be a chainsaw killer.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, the 40s spy getup doesn't quite go with chainsaw.
And he seemingly is walking around concealing a chainsaw everywhere he goes.
Oh, man, that trench coat probably has one big pocket in the front.
What if he's just got a hook that goes under, like, a belt loop on his pants?
And he has to walk, like, stupid so it doesn't cut him.
You know, everything's totally normal out here. We just got the dean going for his nightly, like, wide stroll.
He's looking like a Wild West sheriff.
The other thing we're not talking about is the title of the movie. Like, it's called Pieces, and we know what the killer's up to.
Because it's about puzzles.
Yeah, he's putting together this, like, dream woman, basically. It's strange that they had to try and tie it into his mother. I guess they're just trying to show that who this character is, like, from the beginning. Like, the killer is the kid from the beginning. I don't feel like, what we saw in the beginning had
puzzles,
this sort of...
Puzzles, therefore murder, John.
Yeah, but why is it connected to his mom?
Puzzles.
I guess it always is. They're like, oh, this is a sick
shame.
Fucking weirdo.
Shame. It's all
shame?
About shame. Yes, sexual shame and mothers. Something, something. Freud.
Okay. Freud also fueled by cocaine, so this totally checks out.
And sexual frustration, mothers.
And so what he's doing is he is cutting off the perfect pieces from each woman on campus. Like the first girl that
he went with the face first, like the head. Like he's not very selective, I have to say. Like there was no auditions process. Like he just cut the first girl he saw.
He saw something in him. They had that X factor, you know? He's like the worst talent scout. But
why did he take the dancer's arms? Wouldn't you take a
dancer's... You take the dancer's legs,
and
right?
And take the tennis player's arms.
But here's the funny thing, though. When the dean meets the tennis pro for the first time when she's undercover, he does check out her legs. I noticed this.
Does he?
Yeah, he does. And in terms of not being selective, let's be real. Once he cuts the legs off of that other tennis girl,
and the feet are too small,
he knows he is very selective, and he knows he's got to get different feet.
It's almost like he didn't care about the face, the head at all, because he seems really keen on her
on those
feet.
Shoes.
He's
yeah.
big on the feet. Uh-huh. He's got a big feet thing.
The other great thing about this movie, the great thing about May. And it's just like so many other movies that I'm constantly going on and on about.
This doesn't feel Frankenstein-y, though, I
but
will
say.
But
it's a secret Frankenstein
no,
movie.
No, I disagree, because this is one of those body assembling movies that isn't about the creation of life. It's just not about anything.
You see.
And it's wonderful. It's about puzzles.
It isn't. What the fuck, Kim? Kim's been playing a lot of connections.
This is actually a really great time for me, this movie. I've been on like a Sudoku kick, and like I get the obsession
with puzzles.
With puzzles.
Okay, well, I'll keep one eye open is what I'm hearing. Okay.
Don't worry, you have 40 more years.
This
until
is the inciting
I kill
incident.
Again.
Okay, but I got to make sure that it's not 40 years from tonight. It's 40 years from the first time you watch pieces. That's how I keep you. That's how I stay one step ahead.
You know, it does start with an opening kill.
Shut the fuck up. Don't you dare. Don't put that on me.
Okay, so is this your favorite performance of Groundskeeper Man?
Yes, absolutely. Now, I really like him.
Actually, this is maybe the only movie where he's not like a passing by character.
No.
Like,
no.
You said that like you were lying.
No, he's got a pretty sizable role in David Lynch's Dune. I don't necessarily
love... What is he in
love,
Dune?
Who cares? Like, he's one of these...
He's the talking brain, okay?
He's got a pretty reasonable role in Midnight Express, which is a legitimate movie. This is not one of John's dumb picks. This is like a, you know...
I've never heard of it, so it probably is.
He's in Maverick, if you like comedy westerns.
John, this is a really long list that you have at the ready.
But there, nothing will truly beat. Yeah, I know. I pulled this out of nowhere. I'm not sitting in front of IMDb right now. This is absolutely his peak performance. Is oiling up that chainsaw at the beginning of the movie. It's never gonna top that.
If you had a locker, you'd have that photo in it.
Yeah, some teens have photos of the head cheerleader, or I don't know, some actress or
Marty
something.
Marty has photos of himself.
That's true.
John has photos of
the groundskeeper from Pieces.
Just loving his chainsaw.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, based on my wardrobe and my current hair, I feel like I'm taking fashion advice from him right now.
It could be a Halloween costume. If anybody knew of this
nobody
movie.
Nobody would know. Absolutely no one
Maybe
would recognize
four
it.
People.
I do want to come at you a little bit.
Come at me.
As we go out here, to say that I do think this is much more of a Frankenstein film than you think
whatever.
It is.
Oh, whatever. It's about puzzles.
But we have a reanimated corpse at the end of this movie that totally rips off Kendall's dick. What are you talking about? That corpse wakes up, grabs his crotch, rips off his dick, and we go right into the credits.
Yeah,
what a way to end the movie.
But that's the equivalent of the final moment in Friday the 13th. It's just a dreamlike sequence that isn't actually real, and it's just the pre-credits hurrah for the audience. Like, that's the fourth wall breaking where you're just like, and a final scare. It's not real. None of us are like, and then the corpse reanimated.
I mean, I'm still waiting for the sequel. I want to see where they pick this up. I gotta know how they continue this story. But one other
that corpse looks great, though, by the way. Yeah, that
amazing.
Fucking perfect woman he made.
And they
in the bookcase? Like, fuck.
Hidden in the bookcase.
So spooky. That's all of a sudden it's like, we're in a fucking Poe story.
And it is decomposing in different ways. Mm-hmm. Like the head is decomposing.
The face is really gross.
Yeah, right? Because that's what he got first. Man.
He took the hair from the swimmer girl, right? Because that body had long blonde hair, unless that was like his mom's hair.
How would he get his mom's hair?
I don't know.
I guess he goes into the grave. I guess the hair would still be there. One other important element for a Frankenstein film that comes in one
Quit
of your
with
favorite
the Frankenstein.
Sequences of this movie is lightning. Now, the pieces in a couple key moments has plenty of lightning, Kim.
Yeah. You know, I
and
really
it takes love
the moment in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein when Dr. Frankenstein cuts up all those bodies with a chainsaw.
Yeah, right? Isn't that your favorite?
It's the plague. But also a chainsaw.
This is what we mean when we say that Mary Shelley kickstarted the entire genre and was 100, 200 years.
She kickstarted it like, rum, rum.
Yeah. Rum, 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 rum. Speaking of which, every time anybody starts a chainsaw in this movie, it goes on the first pull. Even Leatherface can't start the chainsaw with one pull in Texas Chainsaw 3D.
It's just such a heavy murder weapon.
Yeah.
Like, it really has to be part of your M.O., for you to give a fuck.
And it really isn't a part of his, but goddamn
does it
look good.
He switches to knives.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and poison.
Oh, yeah. He does do poison.
He does switch to poison by the end.
Yeah, I don't know. Chainsaw's a weird choice. Maybe it's because he's trying to frame the groundskeeper? Does he have presence of mind for that? Or are we thinking he's just, like, going crazy?
I'm not entirely sure. I have no idea. But, like, he does have a nice lengthy conversation with the groundskeeper at the beginning of the
movie. I'd like a prequel where we see him pre-murder spree, because, like,
once again, Kim wants the boring part.
I want the boring part.
You want
who is this man?
90 minutes of him just, like, getting his professor's degree, becoming the dean of a college every once in a while,
maybe just a novelization of
like, I'll get them one day. Fine, I'll take a novelization as long as I don't have to sit through it. But yeah, it sounds like a perfect 10 out of 10 from Kim.
Yeah, honestly, this movie's trash, but it's so good.
Trash is your brand.
I love it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. This was so much fun to watch. Kind of feels like, I mean, obviously it's still relatively new to us, but like it's a movie that I always hear people recommend. I always hear people talk about. I see other podcasts cover it all the time. And there was like this, you know, nagging feeling that like, oh, maybe we should be talking about Pieces. But it's just like the timing didn't feel right. And we're here now. And goddamn, new favorite movie.
For some reason, I always, like, lump this in with, like, being a Valentine's Day movie in my head. Maybe it's just because of, like, all of the branding and the marketing is so red. Mm. And also, the groundskeeper just loves his chainsaw.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, in my head, I've always seen it as, like, a Valentine's Day movie.
Something about the puzzles, too, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, what a good gift.
Yeah. But there is something about Pieces that is also present in Slaughter High. And it is not that it's the same producing team. That was a happy accident. That was something that I learned while reading up on Slaughter High that I had completely forgotten about. Honestly, I forgot that we were going to be talking about Pieces on this season. There was like, we got a whole list of movies. We've already mapped out everything that we're going to be talking about. I forgot that this was the next episode, and I was so stoked to see it on the schedule before we sat down tonight. And if you think you already know what the secret theme for this season is, there's a link in the episode description to bring you to a Google form where you can submit your guess.
First person to get it right is guaranteed a prize pack. After that, we're going to be drawing. So even if it's later in the season and you think you know, it's still worth a guess because we're going to be drawing even more winners. So get your thinking cap on.
We'll be back again next week with another regular episode of the podcast. In the meantime, if you'd like to support Nightmare on Film Street and get some bonus content, you can join us in the Fiend Club, where we host these watch parties. If you want to hang out with some horror fans and laugh your way through some batshit 80s horror trash like Pieces, we are host monthly watch
parties.
We are
always looking for the next Pieces.
Oh yeah, like we have already watched some utterly insane movies, and we are always getting recommendations from the Fiend Club, from our friends as well. Always looking for bottom of the barrel stuff that is great to watch with a group of horror fans. You can get all that info at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. There's a link for it in the episode description as well, and it is the easiest way to support this show.
Actually, the real easiest way, if you can't join us on Patreon, because I totally get it, you know, the economy's great, so we say, Just leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us some stars on Spotify, wherever you're listening to this, or recommend the show to a friend. The new season is just starting. Get somebody to listen to it with you. It really helps our show and keeps us going.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We hope you love Pieces, and if you haven't seen it, we hope it's your new favorite movie. We've got another 10 out of 10 coming up next week, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what Kim thinks about it. But until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.